I sort of like this talk anyway, so I don't mind giving it again. So over the last few years, I occasionally find myself musing over this koan. One day, Jing Qing asked a monk, "What is that sound outside the gate?" The monk said, "The sound of a snake eating a frog." Jing Qing said, "I knew that sentient beings suffer. Here is another suffering sentient being." This koan is not part of our formal koan curriculum, but it is found in the commentary on Jing Qing's Sound of Raindrops in the Blue Cliff Record, case number 46. I've been drawn to this koan, I think, because I find relief and hope in it. Possibly the world has always been troubled, and one's own time seems like the degenerate age, the end time. We Judeo-Christian Euro-Americans have been raised with an apocalyptic view of the world's possibility. So it is easy to slide into that state of mind. We, the U.S., are still doing next to nothing about climate change. We're still in the Mideast and putting more forces into Afghanistan and making increasing forays into Pakistan. The vitriol, idiocy, and wrong-heartedness of Palin, Beck, and Limbaugh seems to be echoing through the land and is increasing in sound and fury. And I find myself feeling sad and frustrated and at times angry. Fortunately, I then remember this dialogue. What is that sound outside the monastery gate? The monk said, "The sound of a snake eating a frog." Jing Qing said, "I knew that sentient beings suffer. Here is another suffering sentient being." If we interpret this dialogue, it is soothing and encourages a warm glow of emotional empathy. Here is the dustless world, the monastery, and yet those dedicated to a spiritual practice are not blocking out the world of samsara, our world. The teacher asks, "What is that sound outside the monastery?" And the monk replies, "It is the sound of a snake eating a frog." I have heard some say the monk is sympathetic. He knows he cannot escape the world, and he is doing a metta or karuna practice, or maybe tung lin, taking in the bad energy and transforming it and sending out good energy. He is not shut down, but touched by and working with the pains and sorrows of the world. Keeping with this interpretation, as mistaken as it is, the teacher continues the echo of the monk. "Oh, the new sentient being suffered. Here before me is a suffering sentient being." Again, there seems to be an empathetic response, as the monk has to the frog, the teacher has to the monk. On the surface, this seems to be a valid interpretation, and the dialogue is a lovely teaching story. However, koan never exist only on the surface, and they defy interpretation. And though they are lovely and quite beautiful stories at times, this is not their purpose. koan are presentations or exclamations of the essential matter and its infinite possibilities in the world of sound and form. They demand that we see through ourselves and through the world to what exists right here before our very eyes. Jing Qing, it seems, often asks this question, what is that sound outside the gate, to visitors and to his monks? That is how we meet him in case 46 of the Blue Cliff Record. He asked that question, what is that sound? And another monk responded, oh, that's the sound of rain dripping. Jing Qing said, ordinary people are upside down, losing themselves in the pursuit of things. The monk said, what about yourself, dear teacher? Jing Qing said, I am on the brink of falling into delusion about myself. The monk said, what do you mean, on the brink of falling into delusion about yourself? Jing Qing said, to attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard. At another time, Jing Qing asked the same question, what is the sound outside the gate? Incidentally, Ba Sui, many centuries later, and in another country, distilled this question down to his own unique expression, constantly asking monks, lay people, and visitors, who hears? Who hears that sound? This time, a monk said, the sound of quail. Jing Qing said, if you wish to avoid uninterrupted hell, don't slander the wheel of the true Dharma of the Tathagata. So these two dialogues are very helpful in seeing into the sound of a snake eating a frog, and the reply, I knew sentient beings suffer. Here is a suffering sentient being. He is asking, where are you in this world of inside and outside? Where are you in this world of coming and going? Where are you in the world of the dying and the unborn? This monk isn't suffering because he is empathizing with the suffering in the world. His pain comes from his marriage to the view of subject and object. His pain comes from the marriage to the view of inside and outside. His pain is of the primary sin, separation. He is wedded to a separate, substantial thing called and thus felt as a self, which immediately posits other. This is his suffering, his primary delusion, and it is our suffering and our primary delusion. Although, on a first read, it may seem this monk is truly involved in the world's suffering, in the killing and dying, he in fact has blocked it out there. He has his filters up, and he is not fully engaged in the world's true dying and in his own dying. Suffering means to allow, not allow it to happen, but when it is happening, to allow it all the way in, down to the bottom. For it is in the frog's dying and our utter absorption in that fact that we find freedom, and that actually the frog finds freedom. and it's where the world finds its freedom. It is in the snake's killing and utter absorption in that condition that we find liberation. Not from conditions, but liberation within conditions. We don't dive below the waves to experience stillness. We dive into them. It is not from blocking the wind, but by being the wind itself. This is not a practice that puts us outside the world's suffering and pain, but it is a practice that puts us more immediately into its very center. The great way, the vast and utterly spacious way, is not difficult if only you do not choose. Right now, what is that sound outside? And now, that sound, and more immediate yet. Wallace Stevens responded to that question like this: "One must have a mind of winter," he wrote, "to regard the frost and the boughs of the pine trees crusted with snow, and to have been cold a long time to behold the junipers shagged with ice, the spruces rough in the distant glitter of the January sun, and not to think of any misery in the sound of the wind, in the sound of a few leaves, which is the sound of the land, full of the same wind that is blowing in the same bare place for the listener, who listens in the snow, and nothing himself, beholds nothing that is not there, and the nothing that is." And it is in this way that you find your own light. It is in this way that you find freedom and the capacity to save all beings. Incidentally, it is not by being overly rigorous and having funneled concentration during Zazen, but by relaxing and letting each thing in and through, that you find your own light and your own freedom. In this way, the world itself, its shapes and forms, its colors and sounds, become your own inspiration. By letting in and through, your body becomes, your body is, the constituency of all other bodies. So what is that sound outside the door? Soldiers and civilians dying in the Mideast? What is that sound? Thousands displaced by an earthquake in Christchurch. What is that sound? An entire country, small though it be, deep being displaced by the rising ocean. What is that sound? A snake eating a frog. These are good beginning responses if they propel you onto a spiritual path of engagement and participation. These are good beginning responses if they propel you into knowing yourself and the other in the most intimate terms. They are good responses if they propel you to a radical revisioning of relationship. Otherwise, those responses will lead to despair and anger, to alienation and loneliness, and can ultimately only breed more of the same. An 18th century priest, N.K. Denson, said, commenting on another case involving Jin Qing, "It is not hard," he says, "to realize an untrammeled state of personal freedom. But saying it without falling into verbal understanding of objects or intellectual understanding of mind, freeing it from the mold, is something that is hard to do." So how do we break free of our associative thinking and feeling? How do we see through the norms set when we were young children by our parents and families, by our neighborhood and city, and by our culture and world? It is not, of course, that all those things passed to us were wrong. It is just that they often leave out an ever-deepening underpinning of what can be and is real. We live in a world of cause and effect, and forget that cause and effect is only part of what is right here before our eyes. At the very same moment, this very place is the Lotus Land, this very body, the Buddha. So what is the sound outside the gate? The sound of a snake eating a frog. But Tenke and Jing Qing are saying to even know that this very place, this very body, is not yet enough. It is not hard to realize an untrammeled state of personal freedom, but saying it, expressing it, presenting it without falling into associative words and actions is hard to do. I've said before, Zen is the radical revisioning of relationship to the world we live in, to others, and to ourselves. It demands the intimacy of no subject and no object. It demands the intimacy of no me and them, of no self and other. It is utterly transparent in the truest sense of the word, not in the sense of the word used recently in popular culture, or in large corporations and in government. Transparency is a true seeing through to what is always present. Transparency is the dew on the top of each branch of coral, which reflects the light of the moon. Taking Patty Ann Rogers entirely out of context, we can say it this way. The black sea surface glitters with bobbing, stuttering. The black sea surface glitters with bobbing, stuttering moons as flat as light. Likewise, the black body of any single fish is covered with thousands of glassy moons, and each drop of spray on a nude body, jeweling the neck, beading the lashes, tresses, and ear tips, sparkling down the ivory legs, becomes moon and mirror simultaneously. Transparent at its root means to show oneself and to show through at the very same moment. It does not mean first one side, show myself, and then show through. To show oneself is to show right through. Showing right through is one's very own self.